Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for your presence here tonight, Father God. I pray your blessings upon each and every one who came out to hear your word tonight. I pray that may we catch a vision of what you're doing, not only in the world today, but right here in Delaware. And we just can't thank you enough or say enough how many times that we love you, Lord. And we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about transformational prayer. You know, I have several friends who are missionaries in Africa. And after years of working in a nation with many Muslims, they're reporting a very unique and joyful phenomena that can only be attributed to God Almighty. They literally dance with joy as, get this, Muslims come out of their mosques after the evening prayer service and they cross this little dirt road into a field where they have a great big sheet put up and this old generator just a-running, and they're showing the Jesus film in their language. And in increasing numbers, many are not recrossing the road back to the mosque, but they are bravely, at great personal risk, starting their salvation journey with Jesus. And what brought them out there out of curiosity, because many of them had never seen a movie before, they decided that they wanted this Jesus. And they attribute this miraculous turnabout to God, of course, supernaturally transforming this region of Africa through the continuous 24/7 intercession of Christians that support that ministry. All over the world, a prayer is arising that is invading cities and states and regions with supernatural revival power. Allow me to tell you what has happened in the state of New Mexico in just 2 years because of this focused, transformational, unceasing prayer. Brian Allered is a young man who has an amazing testimony, and I had the privilege of being in on a prayer call where he was a guest on transformational prayer, and he shared this testimony. It also appears in Charisma News also because it just is so powerful. As a student in Bible college, he was drawn to a story that would shape and change his life. It was the story of the Moravian prayer movement that began in Germany in 1727. A small group of believers, among them both Catholics and Protestants, who all worshipped at different churches in town, they covenanted together to start a 24/7 prayer chain with at least two people praying every hour. Little did they know that their prayer watch would last over 100 years. By 1791, the Moravians had prayed nonstop for 65 years. And during that time, they also sent over 300 missionaries around the world. Today in Washington, D.C., on the mall, there is a huge tent where there is 24-hour praise and continuous worship going up to God. And that has been going on for 8 years continuously. They might have been moved around a bit, and it looked a little dicey last year that they would get another permit, but they did. And just this past week, a group from Delaware went over for a week of praise and worship and prayer over there. And they took little two-hour sets for 24 hours in that. And they came back. They said it was just absolutely amazing, the presence of God. And I just want to share that you had heard me talk about a young man who was a Wiccan that had come to a church and wanted to be on their praise team. Can I sing? I like to sing. And as he was standing up there and they were singing, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome here," he felt the presence of the Lord and he got saved that day. And he's been following the Lord ever since. And he was given an opportunity to go over there this past week. And he said it was the best week of his life. He had never felt so loved by the other men that went. They were a father figure to him. And just absolutely amazing things. But getting back to Brian Allared, God began to birth in him a burning passion to see churches in New Mexico become flames of 24/7 continuous intercession for their state. You see, at that time, New Mexico was experiencing some very, very difficult times. They ranked number 50 out of 50 states in the Family Prosperity Index, way the bottom. They ranked 49 in economy and had the second highest poverty rate in the nation. The state was also facing a $200 million deficit. Brian Allared, who at the time was the regional director for the Billy Graham Association, began to organize intercessors with a zeal to see transformation. Churches came together. They began to come on board with this prayer movement, where eventually 97 churches in 27 cities across New Mexico adopted a monthly day of prayer. And I'm going to tell you more about what happens with that monthly day of prayer. So that the whole month, day in and day out, there was continuous 24-hour intercession for New Mexico. The people who prayed took Jeremiah 29:7 to heart. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city for which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And you know, sometimes we look at the world around us and we just see all the negativity. You know, it's like, are you an optimist or a pessimist? That old thing, you know, or is a glass half full or is a glass half empty? You know, I like what somebody said one time, it's refillable. but it really depends upon your outlook. In the emergency room, there's this dark brown liquid that you can put on patient's skin to cleanse it with, and it's called betadine. And I used to laugh when I had to use it on patients. I said, well, if you're a pessimist, this is instant liver disease, and if you are an optimist, this is instant suntan. So, and that would make them laugh, of course. But we have to see the positive of what our God wants to do in a community. It doesn't matter how dark it is. So when God's people pray, God hears from heaven, and things begin to change. A state that was facing that $200 million deficit now has, in just 2 years, a $1.2 billion surplus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New Mexico is now number one in 2 years in the nation for job increases and wage increases. Doesn't this excite you? Another area where they have seen concrete answers to prayer is on the abortion issue. Albuquerque, the largest city in the state, was once known as the late-term abortion capital of America. Since churches began praying unceasingly for an end to this, three abortion clinics have closed. And furthermore, for over 20 years, the University of New Mexico Health and Science Department conducted research on aborted body parts. But in a remarkable turn of events, the University of New Mexico has now ended this program. Church unity has been very, very important, and it's one of their main prayer focuses. And this is in accord with Jesus' prayer in John 17:21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. A unified church is the most credible witness to the world that Jesus is Lord. Jesus has begun to unite Southern Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, Pentecostals, Charismatic, Messianic Jews, and non-denominational churches in one accord of prayer to see God transform their state. They have laid aside their theological differences and even their worship preferences to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. God uses a united church to heal a divided nation. And every single revival in history has started through unceasing intercession. Every single revival in history has started through unceasing 24/7 intercession. The early church devoted themselves to prayer, and Christianity spread like wildfire. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Pray continually. And I would have to say that perhaps revivals in the past have stopped because prayer stopped. So what does New Mexico have to do with Delaware? What God did in New Mexico, he can do right here in Delaware. And what God is doing in the African nation that my friends serve in, he can do right here in Delaware. And it's not just states or nations, it's cities and even universities. The Arizona State University was a very liberal university, just like much of universities all over America. They had tenured atheistic professors. They cracked down on Christians. Christians were very limited, but there was a group that decided they were going to pray 24/7 on that campus. And they began to set up a little tent on campus. And it came under a lot of direct fire. People didn't want it. But then other people came, and people got saved. People got delivered, you know, and people started worshiping God. We're talking about New Agers, atheists. It's just amazing. And today that campus is strongly a Christian campus. They openly talk about God. They give inspirational talks, and God is welcomed on that campus. And it all started with a little tiny prayer movement of maybe about a handful of people. And this is beginning to happen all over, and it's beginning to happen in Delaware, and it's so very exciting. In 2001, God instructed me to move to Dover as revival was coming, and I would get to be a part of it. I left my job, I left my church, my home, and I came up here. It was a little scary, but I knew that I had heard God. And my only request of God at the time was I want one-stop shopping for a house because I don't want to mess around. And he came through, and even how I found my home up here was a miracle. And I know I wasn't the only one he moved here to the Capitol for revival. I heard that a woman at the Salvation Army now here in Dover moved from New Hampshire because God told her revival was coming to Delaware and she was going to be a part of it. And since my move, I have seen God move here, and I've seen God move there, little patches here and little patches there. Revival is just a burning passion within me. In fact, years ago, I used to be a member of a Christian forum, and my username was Lady Revivalist. And the Lord reminded me about a year ago. He said, you thought you gave yourself that name, but I was the one who gave you that name. Revival is a passion, and I know that revival is a passion with a lot of you. Revival of people who know that they know that they know just who they are in Christ. Revival in churches where they take Jesus outside of the four walls. Revival that transforms cultures. And I, as do many others, have seen visions of Dover Downs, Monster Mile, being filled with worshipers and people being saved, healed, and delivered. I don't know how God is going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. And for the first time in Dover, there is a large tent erected each month since September with the blessing of the city and state. One weekend a month where for this one weekend, continuous music arises, worship music. Even at night, they just turn it down a notch during the night hours. Hot meals are served to anyone who comes, and the homeless and those experiencing rough times financially can obtain free clothing and personal items. But the main attraction is the presence of God. The main attraction is the presence of God there and his love, which is shown to anyone, be they homeless, tourists, passerbys, whosoever. People receive prayer and prophetic ministry, and everyone, no matter their earthly station in life, is valued and they are listened to. You know, too many people just don't listen to what other people have to say. And it just devalues them as a human. Human beings are precious, precious. We're beginning to see signs, wonders, and miracles. A woman last month was healed of laryngeal cancer and was able to speak in a normal tone of voice for the first time in 2 years. That is a yay God, a yay God. People are being touched by the Spirit of God, and it's not just those without homes. God is on the move in Delaware and in Kent County. And I want to tell you about an event that will be occurring June 8th this year, a Saturday, and the Lighthouse Church will be participating. A citywide ministry called the Track Team Ministry, which is composed of about 8 different churches who have decided to move out of the churches and to bring Christ to a lost and hurting city in need of transformation. They sponsor different outreaches, not only in Dover, but in Delaware and even out of state, to assist other faith-based organizations and churches in sharing the gospel. Their motto is, "It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus." And last December, we had a float about Jesus in the Christmas parade. And that float also traveled to Georgetown, Delaware, where it won first place in the religious division. There were over 100 floats in that parade. We actually had the only faith-based float in Dover, in the Dover parade. What is remarkable as well as awesome is that some of our homeless friends we met on outreach spent Saturdays leading up to the parades helping to build that float. And were invited to march with us, handing out gospel tracts and candy canes. This ministry of united Christians from different churches is on the move with God, just like our church is on the move with God. We're all one. They recently wrote a musical called "Why Didn't You Tell Me?" That which was performed at the Dover High School to a packed out audience. And you know, as I sat there looking around to this packed out audience, I thought, if just each one of us would just share Jesus with one other person, do you know how many people that would affect just here in Dover? You know, and they have since been invited to go on the road tour in several states with a musical, as it was very sobering as well as inspirational. What it was about was these people who died and went to hell. And they were saying, "But I live beside a Christian. They never told me. Why didn't they ever tell me?" And there were even a few church people down there, too, who were saying, "I did this for Christ and I did that for Christ." But it was very, very sobering. In fact, when they were actually planning this musical, I had a friend who told me, he said, "Elaine, it sobered me up so much." He goes, "The next day I went down the street knocking on doors with whatever tracks I had, sharing Jesus with some of my neighbors." But this unified group actually was able to get a national Christian T-shirt Day recognized, little old Dover in Delaware. And they were asked by the national people who do this why there should be a national Christian T-shirt Day. And they wrote back, they said, "Well, there's a national pet day and a national tractor day. Why not a national Christian T-shirt Day?" And they received approval of the same. So on Saturday, June 8th, on the Green in Dover, and that's that little smaller area behind Legislative Mall, because there's something else going on the mall that day, there will be tables set up and worship music playing. There will be food. We will share the gospel, and the Lighthouse Church will have a table for prayer and prophetic ministry for anyone. And everyone is invited to wear a T-shirt that represents Christ, or with a scripture, or with a picture. The only thing is not to display church names or faith-based organizations on the T-shirt, as we want to let the community know that we are all united as one body in Jesus. There will, however, be handouts with the names and addresses of the participating churches so that people without a home church can get connected. And our purpose is to tangibly love on the people of Dover and demonstrate to them that Jesus loves them too, no matter what they've done, and has a purpose and a destiny for their lives. So mark your calendars. It's going to be a wonderful day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and there's going to be more details to come. And also, if you'd like to be a part of the planning committee for this, please see me and I will hook you up with meeting times and the director. And all of these things I've mentioned have come about by the hand of God as ordinary people have sought Jesus and sat at his feet on behalf of our city and county and state. Last November, I attended a prayer conference about regional 24/7 unceasing prayer. It was held at David's Tabernacle in Philadelphia. And on my way up there, when I was on Route 1, I had an open vision of these three humongous eagles just flying through the air. I mean, they were on a mission. And I got so, woo, look at that, that here I knew, I know Route 1 like the back of my hand. I made a wrong turn and got off. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me about this? And it was so exciting. Well, when I got there, I realized what he was trying to tell me about the eagles soaring. Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey used to all be one. And all the land was given to William Penn, who was a devout Christian, and had even been imprisoned for his faith back in England. Well, the King of England actually gifted him with the land just to get him out of the country, because the king was being convicted in his heart by what William Penn was preaching and saying, and he wasn't ready to hear it. William Penn dedicated all of this land to God. To God. He said it was a holy experiment. And he invited God and his holy will to be done. And Philadelphia also used to be the nation's capital. And then it was named after the book of Revelations, the Philadelphia and that. But what happened was Freemasons wanted to move, and they took action to move that capital of Philadelphia, which was a godly city at that time, to Washington, where they could build their Freemasonry buildings and dedicate it to their gods. And that's how it got moved. What is interesting is that there's some people out west and who don't even know that Philadelphia used to be the capital, and they have written some people, some pastors in Philadelphia, and they just say, I don't know, but when I'm praying for Philadelphia, I just sense that it's the capital. And then they're told that it was the capital at one time. And so they're saying, well, maybe it'll be moved from Washington back to Philadelphia. And you know what? We don't know what God wants to do, but whether it is or whether it's not, it is the spiritual capital, and it was founded upon God. Something is going on in Philadelphia. It's a city of brotherly love. And, you know, we talk about the Delmarva Peninsula. And that's fine. I mean, I grew up calling it the Delmarva Peninsula. We still do. Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. But that is a geographical conglomeration. Okay, that is a geographical type of identity for us. But it is Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey that share the special spiritual heritage there. And I don't know what we could call it. Padij? I don't know. but Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey all share this shared spiritual heritage as opposed to the geographical one. And because of what God is doing in the region, Philadelphia and the region have started a 24/7 transformational prayer initiative where every day, every hour, the area is covered in specific now-type prayers with an expectation that God will indeed move. There is even a prison in Pennsylvania where the Christian prisoners have taken one day and they pray every hour through that day for transformation in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Things are beginning to happen. Transformational prayer is specific. I think most of you got handouts. If not, there's some in the back. Transformational prayer is specific. It's urgent, and it's time-based, and it's expectant to see results. It's not just, oh, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done, and this needs to be done. This needs your attention now. We're cry out for salvations in this particular area. It's very specific, and we expect God to move. Recently, some very powerful union bosses in Philly, you might have read about this in the news, were exposed and arrested. So we are praying for their salvation. We here in Delaware have been granted great favor for the tent that's on Legislative Mall. In fact, just this past weekend, the state reached out to Pastor David Mormon, who has that tent, and said, you know what? He said, we just want you to move the tent around the mall each month so the grass doesn't get bare underneath of it. But keep up what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. It's making a difference in the city. And at no time, I can honestly say, have I ever seen greater unity among the churches. There are smaller churches, but certainly larger churches have been invited to participate also. And it's not about individual churches or individual ministries or even leaders. We call ourselves the no-names because all we want to do is exalt Jesus. All we want to do is exalt his name. For people to come to know him and to worship him too. Individual churches in Philly have taken one-day slots, and people take individual hours. And we have actually started this in Delaware. Well, who is we? Delaware House of Prayer, or DHOP, and the International House of Prayer First State, and a few individuals such as myself and a few other churches have committed to partner with Philadelphia Tabernacle of David. It's called the Covering Prayer Initiative. And it covers the greater Philly region as well as Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey with 24/7 prayer by taking 24-hour time period. And our slot is from 6 p.m. on the 21st of every month to 6 p.m. on the 22nd of every month. And somebody was laughing. They say, could we have the 31st? Because there are some months with 30 days and they get a little bit of a break. But they were just kidding. We certainly do not have all the slots filled, but they will be. Philadelphia does have all of their slots every single day filled. Any church or faith-based organization in Delaware is welcome to participate. And eventually we want a monthly calendar for the needs of Delaware. And we are going to get there with every day and every hour filled so that Delaware can experience that 24/7 intercession with God, where we partner with God for what he wants to do here. And Philadelphia and New Jersey also pray for us every day. And during that time, we can pray, you know, as the Lord leads for that hour. We've actually put together a prayer guide, for Kent County. That some of you have, as I said, it's on the table out there. This is updated and edited every couple of months. It has to be because, as you see on this particular prayer guide, we're going to be praying for the elections in Israel on the 9th for that. And so we meet every couple of months to discuss praise and prayer concerns and to revise that prayer guide. We also spend a lot of time in worship together during those meetings. And we've even gone on a few field trips with God around the city. We've blown the breath of God with a shofar, and God has given us favor to even enter and pray some places where we wouldn't ordinarily be permitted to go, except for the favor of God, where we can pray. We did some in-depth research on the abortion clinic here in Dover, and that is called spiritual mapping, so that we could pray with knowledge, we could pray strategically, and with a surety that God hears and will answer in his own way, any way he wants to work it out. You know, sometimes it's best that we not know exactly what he's going to do, as we probably wouldn't pray the things that he would want us to pray for that particular time. I remember years ago, I had to go to work in the emergency department and get up at 5, but at 1 o'clock, and I went to bed late that night, the Lord woke me up and said, I want you to take your shofar and go down to the mall, and the mall, the green, the legislative mall, and drive around 7 times and blow your shofar. Well, at the time, I had a shorter shofar so that as long as nobody was sitting there in the passenger seat, I could drive and blow at the same time. And I asked the Lord, what's going on? And he wouldn't answer. But I was obedient. I just said, please don't let any cops stop me because I'm not going to get changed. I'm going in my nightgown. So I did. And when I got down there at 1 o'clock, there were people going from point A to point B. You know, they were just going home or wherever. But I noticed that there were some cars that were driving around like I was in a circle. And I thought, well, they're interceding too. I wonder what is. So I just prayed in spirit. That's all I could do. Well, the next day when I got to work, And the Lord did redeem the time, and I was able to wake up refreshed when we got back home. There was just a deluge. The heavens just opened, and all this rain just gushed. I mean, down. And one of the nurses said, well, I guess that's going to upset the pagans today. I said, what do you mean? She goes, they were going to have a big pagan festival down on Legislative Mall today. So I said, that was it. That was it. But you know what? I might have tried to mess it up if God had told me that, because at that time, you know, I wasn't as mature. We were all in a maturing state, and I probably wouldn't have prayed what he wanted me to pray. So anyway, it's all about relationships with God. Do we have a duty-bound relationship with Jesus, or do we have a love relationship that's born out of intimacy with the lover of our soul? You know, we battle not against flesh and blood. This is a movement not of men, but of the Holy Spirit. And it's birthed in love. You know, people can do atrocious things. They can think atrocious things. They can say atrocious things. They can enact atrocious laws. But we do not war against people. We war against the demonic strongholds that hold sway over them. Take the subject of abortion, for example. Do you think those abortion clinics in New Mexico mentioned earlier were closed because people stood out in front of them and shouted or held up posters or wrote on social media such things as, you murderers, you need to repent. You will stand before God someday. You're not going to win this situation. Let me tell you something. Let me share this with you. Back in the early 1970s, I was a nurse in Chicago. And I called myself a Christian because I knew all those Bible stories. I grew up in the church, but I didn't have Jesus in my heart. I just had head knowledge. I was involved in a cesspool of sin. And working in the emergency room as a secondary triage nurse, many times young women came in and they were pregnant. And I would refer them. I wouldn't even ask them. I'd just refer them to the abortion clinic. I worked at a big major city hospital. If they were married, they went to OBGYN. Single, they went off to the abortion clinic. And I can remember one young woman telling me one time, well, I'm not really sure, you know, I may want to keep my baby. And I can remember looking at her and just standing up from my desk and saying, are you crazy? Are you crazy? And I proceeded to tell her my viewpoint on things. When I got saved, that was one of the first things. It was like, what have I done? What have I done? But Jesus covered me in his blood. In his blood. I am so very grateful for that. So very grateful. But I still grieve. I still grieve over those women that I sent to the abortion clinic rather than speaking life to their babies. Now, since that time in the emergency room, I've had opportunities to speak life, whether they knew I was speaking life or not, to them. But there's another side to this story. Now, let's just take what I was doing at that time. If somebody had come in and said, Elaine, you need to repent. You're going to stand before God someday. You murderer. Do you think I would want anything to do with their God? No. I would just feel so condemned. And Jesus in John 3:17 said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save that which was lost. And there's another side of this abortion story with the church also, and how we relate. This is a staggering statistic, but 4 out of every 5 women who are in an evangelical church today have had an abortion. Some of them are in leadership. Some of them grieve. They've been covered by the blood too. But the church, many, many times the church, and I'm speaking the church as a whole, doesn't give them grace, doesn't give opportunity for them to find the inner healing that they need. So we need to be really careful about how we approach things and what we say. I think it's perfectly okay, and we should be encouraged to write letters to our legislators or emails, and I think we need to speak out in public forums about the things that are on our hearts and God's. But we have to do so with love, we have to do it with grace, and we have to do it with respect for individuals. Even Jesus, you know, he called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and you brood of vipers. But they were religious. They were religious. He never, ever said anything like that to the people that he ministered to on the streets. You know, when he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, who was a lying, cheating, greedy tax collector, he didn't say, "You need to repent." He said, "Come on down. I'm coming to your house for dinner tonight." And Jesus, we have to love like he loves. And we need to speak the truth. It's not that we sugarcoat the truth when we're talking to other people, but unless we can offer in boldness and humility and have it covered in his love with a sincere desire to see individuals change from the inside out by the Holy Spirit, rather than demanding that they change, then we need to stay silent if we can't do that. And Friday night, I was with a group of people from here. We went to a concert, and we were just laughing and sharing things. And I was telling them, again, when I lived in Chicago in my cesspool of sin at the time, I used to take the bus back and forth to work. And I got on the bus, and this little old lady would get on the bus after me at the next stop, and the bus would be filled, but she would come back and point right at me, and she would say, "Repent. Repent." And, you know, I was just totally embarrassed and shocked. You know, why isn't she pointing out to other people? It was always me. And people would kind of laugh, you know, and it was like, I don't know whether they're laughing because I feel so sorry for you, woman, or I'm so glad she's not pointing at me. But every day for a period of time, this would happen. And you know what? I told them, I would sit in the back. I'd change. I would get down in my seat when I saw her. But she'd come right back there. Repent. And it also was a time where women wore wigs, you know. And if you had a bad hair day, you just put on a wig. It didn't matter what color it was. I had a redhead. I had a blonde. I had a brunette, you know. And I would just make people schizophrenic sometimes at work with all my wigs. But I would wear a different wig. She still found me. Repent. Repent. But if she had, of course, I didn't repent. I was just mortified that she was doing this. However, had she got on the bus and sat beside me, "Hello, good morning, how are you? My name is Sally Lou, and you are," and every day she got on, she would just have a relationship with me, you know, and I would begin to see that Sally really was a really nice lady, and I enjoyed talking to her, and maybe someday she would just, "How can I pray for you, Elaine?" You know, and or she would just say, "Well, you know, Elaine, I was praying for you, and this is what the Lord pointed out and ministering to me." I might have repented at that time, but there was no way. I even thought about getting taxis to work if I could have afforded it so that I could have avoided her. But it just went on for a short period of time. I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't very funny then. But I just point that out in the way that we have to have relationship with people before many times we have the privilege of being able to speak the truth to them. And when we pray for such concerns, undergirded in God's love, knowing that we may not be doing what abortionists do or homosexuals do or adulterous people do, but we've been in that same sin pit that they are currently in, and we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So why not them too? You know, no one has ever been one to the Lord's team with arrows thrown at them. It is love, love, love. And love covers a multitude of sins. Just this past weekend, I met a woman who used to be a psychic, and she shared her testimony with me. She used to be down on the mall, but during the gay pride, Wiccan pagan things, and she would have her own little table there. She made a lot of money doing that, and she was well known. Can you imagine if we had gone down there and met her and said, "You need to repent," you know. But what God did with her was so neat. She was hearing from demons, but she goes, one day, God spoke to me. And I knew it was God. And he said, are you willing to give up all of this? Because she was making a lot of money. Are you willing to give it all up? And she said, I thought about it. And she said, I said, yes, I will. And so she did. And then she heard God's voice a couple of days later. And he said, I want you to read Corinthians. So she went to a bookstore and she goes, do you have a book called Corinthians? And they said, no, but Corinthians is in the Bible. So when she opened the Bible to Corinthians, there was that verse about you've got to love people. You can't be like a clanging cymbal for that. And so she bought that Bible and started to read it. And she was a biker chick, by the way, and the old Denny's down there that used to be open. She was sitting in there at 1 o'clock with some of her biker friends. And the Lord said, today is Salvation Day. And she goes, are you talking about Salvation Army, Lord? But when she got home, she goes, it was the middle of January. And she said, I got home and it was icy out. But she goes, before I even went in the house, I got down on my knees. And I just said, I want you into my heart, Jesus. I will serve you forever. And she has been serving him ever since. Ever since. Can you imagine what would have happened if certain Christians had gotten hold of her when she had been down there with her little table, and what they would have said rather than ministering in love? One time I was speaking at a prophetic conference in New Jersey, and a young man came up. His mother drug him up, by the way. He was a teenage boy for a word from the Lord. And Father God was so gentle with him. I knew that this boy was in a homosexual lifestyle. But yet Father God spoke fatherhood. He spoke identity without anybody else around, except for this kid, his mother, God, and I, knowing what was going on. Let me tell you, he went to his knees in tears. And when he got up, he even walked differently. And he was changed. In fact, he came up to me, he goes, are you going to be here tomorrow night? I said, no, but you need to know that it was God that did everything to you today. And God will be with you tomorrow. And he'll be with you the next day. And the next day after. For that, God is just so loving. Why can't we love like Jesus loves? So if you desire to be a part of this movement of God, this prayer movement of God, there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. I have a sheet out there of what people are, and it's called Kent County Transformation, but we pray for Delaware. And you can take 1 hour slots. And believe me, when I first started this, I thought, oh, mercy, Lord, I have hard time fasting. You know, when I first started fasting, am I going to be able to do a concentrated 1 hour of prayer? I mean, I can pray for several hours, but concentrated prayer just on this for a whole hour. But you know what? Once you get started, you don't want it to end. And you know what? You can go over that time with praying. As you can pray as the Holy Spirit leads, you can worship. And you can even, you don't have to pray everything on that list. It's as the Holy Spirit leads. And so it's kind of interesting to get together with people on the 23rd of the month and just ask them, what did God have you pray about? You know, one time I might pray just specifically for families the whole hour, and somebody else might be praying for something else that entire hour that they pray. There are people that have already signed up for different slots, but if you want to do this, and let's just say 5 a.m. is your time to pray, and somebody has already signed up for 5 a.m., go ahead and sign your name, okay? Because, you know, we can have more people praying. You know, the more, the better it is. And we will eventually get all those slots filled. We just ask that you put down your name and print it legibly, your email, so that we can send you updates, okay, and new prayer guides as they come out. And your telephone number so that we can reach you. But this is really exciting. We send out reminders every month of when your day has come. But it gets to be so neat that, you know, many of us have found ourselves praying every day for that, not just on our designated day. And if you have any questions, just please don't hesitate to contact me about that. The word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You will never know what God will do or what God will stop until we lay before his feet and pray and partner in him and what he wants to do here on earth. Revival breakthrough comes only from prayer, seated and fueled by and with love with Jesus, the love of Jesus. It does not come by declaring revival to be present. It doesn't come by wishing and hoping. It doesn't come by playing spiritual one-upmanship with one another or with other ministries. It doesn't come by blowing a shofar or dancing in the street praising God. It comes fervent, fervent, fervent prayer before God, the one who can move mountains. May we love like Jesus loves. May we partner with what he's doing. May we truly humble our hearts, sacrificing time and sometimes comfort, and pray earnestly, and go forth and take back territory for the kingdom. May the darkness be routed and the light of Jesus shine forth all across this state, all across this region, all across this nation. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And the word also says in Isaiah, for as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. May heaven truly invade earth as such a time as this. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a God that's on the move. We thank you that you are a God who wishes to partner with your sons and your daughters to bring revival to this region, to Philadelphia, to New Jersey, to Delaware, to the nation, to the world. We thank you, Father God. We just humbly offer ourselves to you to be used in any way, Father God, as part of this great end time harvest comes to fruition. We pray for more laborers to come forth for that harvest, that not one piece of grain or piece of fruit is left on that vine. We thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just feel like if you want to be a part of this 24/7 movement, it might seem scary for you. To be honest, it was a little scary for me to start out, but I know what God is doing. And I know what God has done, even in me personally, through this. And if you would like that, the altar is open. And you know what? If you have any kind of a need, come forward. You know that the anointing is for prayer. 24 intercession prayer. But if you've got a toothache, you've got a backache, maybe you don't know God and you want to know God, come forward. Let God love on you. And meet your every need. No one should leave tonight with a need that's unmet. So we just invite you to come forward and let God just speak to you.